The Eagles running out big winners in the end. Adelaide were able to sort of stay with the Eagles for the first half, and then they really ripped away. One of the men who was outstanding up forward for the Eagles tonight was Cripps, outstanding with five goals. And let's take you down to Mark Rusciutto, thanks to our friends once again at Fox Footy. And Mark Rusciutto is about to have a chat, I think. He's just got Jamie Cripps there. And let's head down to Mark Rusciutto from Fox Footy, having a chat to Jamie Cripps.
Just hold the hand up with five and tell him to get away.
It's good to get the win. It's good to get the win for Big Nui and Westie's first game, so good effort by the boys. We've been very disappointing the last few weeks, so it's good to get a good win like that.
What about Luke Shuey? We see some ice on the calf. Do you know if he's strained or corky?
Not real sure. Hopefully it's just a corky. We need him out there. We're at our best when he's playing.
Got a good record at Adelaide Oval. Do you feel confident when you come over here?
Yeah, we love coming here. I think it's the best, nearly the best deck in the AFL. So, we love coming here.
Well, congratulations on the way you played today. Five goals, PB. Well done, and good luck for the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Thanks to Matt Rusciutto, Fox Footy, and Jamie Cripps, who was outstanding. Their key contributor up forward with five goals tonight. Rhett Biglands, we've got Brad Ebert, Dom Cassisi looking back on this game. It's our Triple M Amy review. Amy, who covers Clang as Amy does. Lucky you're with Amy. Well, coming into tonight, boys, we're wondering sort of which way it would go, and sort of went to the way you possibly saw pre-game, Dom, a big win in the end of the Eagles, but didn't have it all their own way.
No, they didn't, and we've seen that with the Crows most of the year, where they do make it hard for the opposition to get it on their terms. Now, if any team against Crows thinks they can just rock up and have an easy game, it's not the case. And I reckon that was a lesson learnt for West Coast in the first half. You know, I think their pressure was a little bit off. They weren't taking the game on from stoppage. They weren't taking the game on with their ball movement. They reset at half-time, and they knew they had to go to work, and that's what you saw. You know, their pressure lifted. They caused turnover. They scored from stoppage. They'll be a little bit more daring with the way they were playing, and they got the rewards for it. So, look, I think it was a good performance for them in the second half.
Getting the dual chair off here, we've got Brodie Smith and Nick Natanui both playing their 200 games. I think we had Darling lifting up with Duggan there. Big Nick Nat, and I think it was a little Rory Laird doing the job there with Rosa Sloan. Anyway, big winners here, the Eagles. Brad and Dom, I also want to get you on those numbers you brought up for Adelaide. We'll touch on the Eagles in a minute, but is it simply a young side dropping away? Is that what is happening with Adelaide at the moment, and they're going to be okay in time? Or is it more than that? Because, Dom, I think some numbers that you brought up in the second half seemed a lot of players who weren't actually getting near the ball, and I wonder how that's youth.
Yeah, there is a risk of, I guess there is that youth side where you can look at the game and go, you know, they are tailing off, and, you know, that's, I guess they start the game off eager, they're keen to play out the game style, do exactly what they're trying to play, but then as the game goes, fatigue sets in and they're not able to maintain what they're actually trying to pursue. So I think there's a bit of that. I think they've got the system and the structure there. I know that Nixie talks about it. He talks about it pre-game, and I know that he's talked about it throughout the year, that, you know, defense is what's going to set them up, and you can see that is there. They're trying, they're eager to do it, but they're just not able to maintain it. And so then a good side will always get away from them. We still have to understand that they are still a pretty average side when you look at it, and whether we're being fair or not, I think they are. And I think that they're improving and they're going to get better, but they do have the structure there. They have the system, and then they're now needing to just get some games into some young players, get them to experience it, and then get them fitter, get them stronger, and get them playing this game more frequently and consistently.
Yeah, and then you look at the Crows and you go, well, they are getting a lot of games into their young players, which is what you have to do. But the question I have at the moment is, like tonight, which one of their young players showed something?
Yeah.
You know, like I look at guys like, you know, obviously Fogarty's been around for a while, but, you know, McHenry had the three disposals for pretty much the second half. Berry didn't touch the ball a lot either. Hamill didn't touch the ball a lot. Chase Jones
was on a lot of those smaller forwards.
Yeah, Himmelberg and all these sort of guys. Like, they're not finding the footy. They're not getting their hands on it. But I don't know if we're going in the rooms.
Big winners there, the West Coast Eagles. Dom?
Yeah, so I was just getting back to it. I mean, they're getting games of the young players. You need to see, some of the young players improve. And I don't reckon we've seen that the last three or four weeks from the Crows. Like, as a outsider looking in, or even their supporters, you can't walk away from tonight and go, he's going to be a player, he's going to be a good player. And that's what they need to see. So, I mean, Ben Keys is having a standout year. But you look at it again tonight. Laird, he had the most disposals. Smith, 200th game, he was one of the better players again. Tom Lynch was fantastic. Seisman had 27. Sloan, 25. Then that's still too much reliant on their top-end talent. So I think between now and the end of the year, the Crows need to work out whether these guys are going to be AFL players, go back to the draft and go back to the trade.
Do they need to give them more opportunity in those key positions? Because you're looking at, like, Laird, Keys, Smith, they're all your main, or Seedsman, they're your mainstay mids. But they almost need to start saying, you know what, are they going to be in there for our next premiership or not? And start moving a Sloan or a few of those sort of guys out to positions, help them develop some younger players and give them more time in the midfield? I'm not sure. I don't know if that's a legitimate thought for them.
Speaking of improvements, West Coast did improve today, didn't they? And Connor West was the debutant who played really well. They've had inconsistent form, and other sides have actually improved around them, West Coast, but they now jump into seventh position on the ladder above Essendon. Their run home seems a little more difficult than what it did a few weeks ago, perhaps, now COVID-dependent. They take on the Hungry Saints in the West next week, and an unrestrained Pies, I would have thought, Triple MCG. The D's in Perth. And then the Derby, which is almost an eight-pointer for them, wanting to stay inside the eight. And the Lions at the Gabba. So hopefully they'll get Barras back soon with that hammy. Archie injured that hand. He's out for 6 weeks. And then Redden's the only other probably mainstay. A couple of weeks away with that leg injury. And just another update. Interesting one for West Coast today. With them pulling Luke Shuey out of the side via Twitter, they've only said that we will update you later on what his injury is, why he was subbed out.
They're trying to get their story straight.
Yeah. Let's work out what we're going to say first before we put it out there.
I'm not sure how that's going to sit with everyone. And in the AFL sort of system, I think they brought that medical sub rule in for the main concussions, really, didn't they? And so, yeah, I don't know. It starts sort of getting on that grey area where what's it going to look like, how are they going to play it, and how long does he actually sit out for? I'd imagine he'd probably be playing next week, but who knows? There might have been something more to it, and we might just be, I don't know, thinking about things a little bit too much. I don't know, Yada.
What about this win, though, for the Eagles? What does it mean? Because you come off the back of three bad losses, and you travel away against a side who, you know, on paper, Dom, you said it pre-game, on paper they just win. But you actually have to come and do it. And it took them a while to get their confidence going, but can a win like this spark a team back into their better form and then have a nice run towards September?
Yeah, definitely. And I reckon we've seen, you know, the last few years, the better teams do have a bit of a quiet 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, who knows? They might have had a pretty hard training block, you know, but, you know, that to go away, to travel here, and perform really well in the second half like they did, it's only a positive for them. I think Adam Simpson would say they've still got so much more upside, but I reckon he would have been happy with their intent in the second half. You know, their pressure, like we said, their pressure's been low all year, their pressure factor, that was through the roof. You know, a lot of their goals came from turnover because they were in the Crows' faces causing turnover. So, look, I think it was a it's definitely a step in the right direction.
We also talked about some key players being really out of form, and I think there was a fair few of them that started to find it. And, you know, you think about Cripps, you think about Gaff, Hearn, they're senior players. McGovern was strong in defence. Shepherd started getting the ball and started using his run and carry a little bit more. So there's certainly upsides. It's still a little bit shaky, though, for mine. Crows definitely dropped away in that second half. West Coast definitely lifted. So it's fantastic for them in that sort of sense. Yeah, and you can certainly take some confidence away, but they're still not showing strong enough football for mine to be a real premiership contender. In saying that, they've still got 4 or 5, 6 weeks to go to really sort of cement that and actually grow on it. So, yeah, time will tell.
What do you think about the premiership race this year? Do you think it's the top four and then the rest are sort of a bit below? Or is this a year someone can come from outside the top four? And because we've got teams toward the top who are, they haven't been proven in the big
and
big
even
stage.
Melbourne last night again.
A draw.
Yeah, starting to question their legitimacy, even though they have been playing fantastic footy. So you go, you do look at the top four, well, top five really, and Brisbane are sort of in that.
Yep.
But at the same time, in saying that, Sydney have been playing some fantastic footy, and who knows what they can bring come finals time. Essendon keep improving and showing glimpses, and Richmond are sitting outside the top eight. And then they do it again on Friday night, beating Brisbane and showing that they can be a legitimate side again. So, I think it's certainly open still. I don't know if you want to add anything in that sort of sense, Dom.
Yeah, no, look, I think I think it's going to be hard to go past the top three or four sides. I mean, when we've seen them live, like when you see Western Bulldogs, Brisbane live, and you see their spread and the talent they've got, their top-end talent can really turn games. And Melbourne throw in the mix as well with Petrarca and Oliver. And
then Geelong, Bondapalli as well.
Yeah, Geelong have got the grunt, but I just reckon those three, Geelong have got the grunt around the footy.
Mm.
But I reckon Melbourne, Western Bulldogs, Brisbane just have this different look in terms of the way they spread. They've got the mix of the grunt inside and the pace, and they've, you know, their key tools are elite as well. So they just look like they bring a different dimension when finals footy, when the whips are cracking, and they've got pace in their game, they've got spread, they've got attack on the footy. I reckon those three are the ones, because for mine, I think West Coast are a bit too far back to make their run. Port Adelaide maybe looking the same as well. So, you know, Richmond are just hanging in there. So I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting, but I would have thought that my prediction is that the top three or four, someone out of there is going to pinch it.
Well, the Swans are down at halftime up on the Goldie. They trail by 16 points in the Battle of the Harbour Bridge. So that is an intriguing one as well. Giants still with a little glimmer of hope trying to sneak into the eight. Richmond sitting in ninth as well on the live ladder. So if they can get any sort of run at it, it's going to take a lot.
It's our Triple M Amy review. Who covers Clangers? Amy does. Lucky you're with Amy. The Eagles running out big winners. 42 points. 14-14-98 over Adelaide. 8-8-56 and around the grounds. Biggles, I'll just continue on that from the results earlier today. It was the Bombers home by 18 points. This is for RAA around the grounds. RAA insure with the locals today. Bombers by 18 points over the Kangaroos. Carlton. They keep on winning, so a 29-point win over the Pies, and, of course, the Eagles by 42 points over the Adelaide Crows. Of course, for McDonald's, a custard pie is back, Biggles, for just $1.50 on the Macca's loose change.
Oh, how good is it just to wash down a custard pie with another custard pie?
You haven't stopped talking about it, Biggles.
$3. Oh, they're so good. What about Tom Lynch? Out of contract as well. They spoke about him during the week, say there was no guarantees. When he plays well and the Crows get rolled by 42 points, it doesn't do him and Daniel Talia any favours. The mainstays of the Adelaide Footy Club are going to be up against it. Now, with Paul Seedman re-signing already, it doesn't leave a lot of room for those players who are knocking on the door of 30 years of age, does it? It's going to take some tough calls.
I personally reckon he should be a lock-in for a contract for a year, 100%. Yep. Because the difference between their good players and their bottom end is too big. You know, like Lynch, even if they're going to get 10, 12 games out of him, culturally, he's fantastic for the players. He's a professional. He shows young players what's required. And if they get rid of someone like him and Natalia, well, their bottom end's just falling out even more because, you know, their first-round draft picks had 2 or 3 years, to be honest, haven't come on the way that they, the club probably would have hoped. So you can't then keep dropping out the top, you know, the more experienced players until you got these guys, some more of these guys coming through. That's my take, and I think he's got so much more to offer. And after seeing him tonight, he's still in good form at AFL level.
First-round draft picks, outside of Schomburg, who I think has performed admirably, and he's probably stepping up. So 24 disposals and a goal tonight for Schomburg, 6 tackles, 6 clearances, and he is only just 20 years of age. So I think he's probably one that has stepped up.
I think we talked about Tom Lynch at halftime, saying that he was almost the difference in the sense that why Crows were still in the game.
Yep.
You know, he was that link man. He was the guy that's able to get up the ground, use the ball with composure, and then he just runs tirelessly to keep creating for his team. So I think even if it is just one of those ones where if he is strong culturally, you've got to keep him on, and you've got to keep him on even as a coach or something. I think they talked about that as almost an option where he stays on as a coach. He plays SNFL. He's a development guy. But then he's coming in and has the ability to come in and impact like he did. I think it has to be done.
And Luke Brown for Adelaide had season-ending Achilles surgery this week, so he is done for the year. And that's a big loss because he would have been on Liam Ryan tonight, possibly, who bobbed up with 3 goals.
And the other one is the Crows forward line, which we touched on. But, you know, Walker, Lynch, they're the two key players. But that other part with, obviously, Philthorpe, but the other one, there's been a rotating door. You've had Himmelberg, you've had Frampton, you've had Fogarty. They're in, they're out, they're in, they're out. What do you think the solution is there?
Well, I don't think the coaches know either. So, you know, they're trying to mix and match. But, you know, when Tex has been out of the side, the forward line looks totally dysfunctional. Yeah. And, you know, no one's really grabbed that opportunity with both hands, to be fair. So it's a big void they've got to fill when Walker finally finishes. And there's no one really jumping out at this stage.
I think there's a lot of love for Thilthorpe, no doubt, from the coaches.
Yeah,
no, so he's managed this week, and he had a lot of groin issues in pre-season, and I think they're going to put the future around him. The more time he can spend with Taylor Walker, the better.
Yeah, but in 3 years, what does their forward structure look like? The next little group
Tex
coming through.
Tex could go on for five, the way he's going.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, getting back to the Thilthorpe, right, and then you got, you know, is Fogarty an AFL player? Is he a week-in, week-out AFL player? Is Himmelberg an AFL player?
What do you think?
At this point, he's not bringing enough consistency to be that. I think he's got glimpses of being a star, but he just doesn't have the body, he doesn't have the ability to run out games well enough, and he can't consistently stay involved.
21 years of age, and you only had 31 inside 50s last week when he didn't play, and not a great deal of inside 50s. Tough spot to be a 21-year-old forward.
But he's also getting glimpses.
I'd rather chew alpha than do that.
Yeah, but at the same time, they're almost talking about bringing him up around the ground and getting him more involved in the ball, and it doesn't seem like he's having that impact there either. So he needs to be able to impact. He needs to get fitter and be able to see out games up in those sort of positions and actually almost take over a Lynch sort of position.
All right, we'll come back to that. We're about to head down to the West Coast rooms right now, and one of the stars for the Eagles, Tim Kelly, joining us. Tim, welcome. Congratulations, mate. Here's Dom Cassisi to throw the first question your way.
Tim, well done tonight on the win, mate. Just in the first half, the Crows came to play and but it looked like at stoppage you guys were just finding it hard to get your mojo. You know, it was hard to get breakthrough them. They were bringing a lot of numbers to stoppage. But the second half, that tended to open up. What did you guys change in the second half from a structure-wise to be able to get the game on your terms from stoppage?
Yeah, g'day, guys. Yeah, look, the Crows, like you said, they come to play. And I didn't really feel like they dropped off much around the ball in terms of their intensity and in terms of cracking in. For us, it was just a matter of being tougher for longer, which has been a bit of an issue the last month. So, you know, we didn't really change anything up. It was just about continuing to get it done. The contest was solid. The Crows boys come to play, and you know, for us, it's just, you know, such an important win for us. You know, obviously with context of the season and ladder position and all that. So, first win in a month for us boys, and it feels good.
What was the messaging over the last 3 weeks? Was it, like you said, just being tougher for longer, or was there more to it than that in the way the coaches were dissecting your losses to be able to come out and perform like you did in that second half, which was fantastic?
Yeah, well, obviously tougher for longer was a big focus, in particular for us mids, just making sure that we're getting the job done and getting field position from the stoppages and that. But I guess obviously we've been harshly criticised by the way we're moving the ball and. As of late, and I felt like today was a little bit more us. I felt like we controlled the ball. We went quick when we could, and we had some dangerous looks heading forward. So hopefully that's hopefully that can continue.
That harsh criticism, Tim, and also the outside noise where they've been levelled at Simo a bit and hasn't dropped his senior players. I know you've only been there for 2 years now, but the senior players have really starting to respond and Simo's backed them in rather than sending them back to the waffle.
Yeah, I think the senior boys we got, a lot of them have, plenty of credits in the bank. You know, obviously we've had a bit of a rough month, but we've been working our asses off on the track, planning, doing everything we can right, to get ourselves, mentally prepared and as best physically prepared for games, and a lot of us boys, wanted to respond, and I felt like today we got a good response. It was a nice collective effort. All over the board. I thought our backs were magnificent today. I thought they were outstanding today.
Yep.
Tim, just in the centre bounce, you guys are so dominant there. Obviously, Nick Nat helps. And what can you say about him? His 200th game, Geelong for a few years, you played with some superstars. You've got some great players you play with there. Where do you rate him amongst them, mate, and what he brings to the team?
mate, he's definitely right up there. He's probably one of my favourite teammates in terms of, he allows me to get so much ball, with the dominance that he has in the ruck. But, growing up in Perth and mad West Coast supporter growing up, Nick Nat was, he's always been, someone I've looked up to and loved the way he went about it. And, it's an incredible feeling for myself and for a lot of us a lot of us boys at the club here that we're playing with one of the greats of our club, and someone like him, he's worked so hard to get to this point. So it was awesome that us boys were able to get the win for him.
He certainly has been a star, mate. And another star for you boys over the last few years, Luke Shuey. He obviously went down late in the game. Can you give us anything more there? Is there anything more to report in terms of what actually occurred?
Yeah, look, I've actually got no idea. I saw him with the training top on and noticed that Jacko Nelson came on. But not too sure yet. Hopefully it was just, the game was done and, maybe it's just a little bit sore. Hopefully it's nothing too major.
Yep. Tim, mate, we really appreciate you giving us your time on Triple M Footy. Well done. Big win and confidence can be back and get rolling from here. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, boys.
There he is, West Coast star Tim Kelly. Eagles home by 42 points. We're taking you shortly for RAA to the Giants and Swans game, but we need to get the votes, boys, from tonight's game. The Triple MVP award for Mungrel Boots. Mungrel Boots, comfy boots built for long days on site. Coming into this round, it was Ollie Wines. He was 24 points. Sam Walsh, 21. And then Steele, Bottom, Pelly and Clayton Oliver all on 19.
You better get a backman in there after hearing Tim Kelly. Don't you put three mids, you blokes. You always look after mids.
Mids and forwards, I think, isn't that the way
it
is?
What about the backs?
No, we're going to start off with one vote going to Shannon Hearn. I thought he was superb. I thought he was absolutely superb. 24 disposals, 23 kicks going at 91% efficiency and 562 metres gained. He was on fire and he was that star defender that you've got in there, Biggles. Andrew Gaff, two votes. Another standout performance, 34 disposals, 86% kicking efficiency. I thought after half-time he really started going with a bit more penetration and actually breaking the lines rather than just sort of getting those chips and going sideways. So he certainly was a standout in the second half. But you cannot go past Cripps. Cripps, for three votes for me, ended up with 25 disposals, ended up with five goals, two, four tackles, nine contested possessions. He was just everywhere tonight, and kicking those five goals, he was certainly a standout and a reason for them winning. So he got my three votes tonight.
Beautifully done. The Triple MVP award for Mungrel Boots. Mungrel Boots, comfy boots built for long days on site. Now we're about to take you to the Battle of the Bridge. It's the Giants and the Swans. It was the Eagles all over Adelaide here at the Adelaide Oval. West Coast by 42 points, 14-14-98. Adelaide 8-8-56 for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M.